We often speak about the cross on this channel, but we haven't really delved into the significance of Christ's precious blood. On today's feast day, we're going to do exactly that. Stay tuned. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. We're grateful to all those who quietly help this apostolate continue reaching souls through Padre Pio's spiritual legacy. Today's reflection may touch your heart in ways you did not expect. Today the Church celebrates the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a feast that commemorates the redemptive sacrifice of the cross and the forgiveness of sins made possible through the shedding of His blood. And, as I usually try to do on feast days, today I'd like to share with you a reflection by Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira on this profound mystery. So without further ado, let's dive right in. The professor begins. Today is the Feast of the Most Precious Blood, and I confess that, among the feasts honoring our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps none speaks to my spirit nor impresses me as much as the Feast of the Precious Blood. Of course, such things are personal and depend on how grace touches each individual, but this is how it is for me. The reason lies in the following. We must carefully consider what blood is and what shed blood signifies in order to truly understand the shedding of Christ's precious blood. We all know that blood is part of our organism, an element, a part of our person. Therefore, the blood of Christ is owed the very same adoration that is due to Christ Himself. Blood is contained within our organism, and its natural condition is to remain inside the body. Thus, any shedding of blood, anything by which blood leaves our organism, has a catastrophic character. For example, many diseases announce themselves through blood loss. It is a disorder within the organism that causes the blood to leave it. It is almost an alarm signal, and a violent one, warning us that something is gravely wrong within the body. Now let's just pause here for a moment. I think we all understand this instinctively, right? Even a small amount of blood immediately catches our attention. Something inside us recognizes that blood is not meant to be spilled. But the professor then takes the reflection deeper. But shedding blood does not speak only of illness. It also speaks of struggle and crime. It is impossible, for example, to speak of spilled blood without thinking of the blood of Abel shed by Cain, which, according to Scripture, cried out to God for vengeance. The idea of blood poured out through crime, of blood found spilled on the ground, blood which is part of the organism and was thorn out of it, gives us the sense of something unjust, something violent, something that deeply disturbs the order of creation and cries out to God for the restoration of that order. When we think of the infinitely precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that blood formed in the womb of Our Lady, that blood which flowed from a body from which it should never have flowed, and which, through a series of unspeakable acts of violence, through the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, torments of every kind, and worse still, the torment of his soul when, in his agony, he began to suffer so intensely that blood oozed from his entire body, this blood poured onto the ground stands as a clamorous testimony to the outrage committed against the God-man. So, here's the heart of the matter. If ordinary spilled blood already signals that something isn't right, what about the infinitely precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? The blood of Christ is not ordinary blood. This is the blood of the God-man, the blood of perfect innocence. The blood of the one who healed the sick, forgave sinners, raised the dead. And with that in mind, the professor turns our attention to the reality of evil. This blood reveals to us how far human malice can go. It is a manifestation of the mystery of evil, a manifestation of how much God endures, and a memorial teaching us that fallen human nature, especially when guided by sin and by the devil, can go to the very extreme and recoils before nothing. Therefore, in the face of evil, every form of vigilance is necessary. This is precisely what is meant by the command, watch and pray. We must be distrustful, because evil is capable of everything, even the worst infamies. Anything may be expected from it, and against it, every legitimate preventative measure allowed by the law of God and man may be employed. Every form of negligence regarding evil, every foolish optimism, every delay in combating it is truly a crime, because evil has already shown itself capable of going this far. This consideration is very unpleasant for our easygoing, compromise-loving nature. But we must meditate before the precious blood on how far evil is willing to go. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Because Christ's spilled blood reveals what evil is truly capable of, and it's capable of killing love itself. But the professor does not leave us with this, because the precious blood speaks not only of the horror of sin and evil, but also of the unimaginable depth of God's love. And perhaps some of you listening today have been carrying the weight of your own struggles, failures, or wounds. Perhaps there are moments when you wonder whether God could truly forgive you, truly love you, or truly remain close to you despite everything. The precious blood reminds us that Christ held nothing back for our salvation. And that same love continues to reach souls today through prayer, faith, and spiritual companionship. Becoming a protected child of Padre Pio is not simply about supporting this apostolate. It's about placing your intentions, your loved ones, and your spiritual journey within a prayer family united under Padre Pio's intercession. Your intentions are remembered in holy masses, and you become part of a community that seeks to walk faithfully with Christ together. If your heart is being drawn towards that deeper spiritual companionship, you can learn more through the link below. Now back to the professor. It is important to notice the mercy of God, who willed that this blood should be shed, and shed in an unheard of abundance. Every drop of blood in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out, as if to show that in every possible way this blood was given, and given without reserve, not withholding even a single drop, entirely because of our Lord's immense desire to save us. One single drop of his blood would have been sufficient for everything, yet he shed all the blood he had. He willed that nothing should remain for himself in order to redeem us. This complete self-giving recalls the words of our Lord, "No man has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." In this feast of the precious blood stands before us proclaiming, "No one can be a greater friend to each one of us than he who gives his life for us." Finally, we must think of the Holy Eucharist. This blood of Christ was shed through the streets, the squares, on the heights of Calvary. And this same blood is wholly present in the Holy Eucharist. How many of us perhaps received yesterday, or today, or will receive tomorrow and in the coming days the blood of Christ within ourselves? Therefore, when we receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should remember this. This precious blood shed for us is given to us to receive. Within us, it is like the blood of Abel, but not crying out for punishment against us, rather crying out for mercy on our behalf. And so we should receive the Eucharist with great confidence and great joy, because we receive the blood of Christ, which rises to heaven and pleads for us. And with that, the professor concludes. So, as we enter the month of July, the month dedicated to the precious blood of our Lord, perhaps this is the thought we should carry with us. One drop would have been enough, but he gave it all. Not a single drop held back. This is how much he loves you. Wishing you a blessed feast of the most precious blood. Thank you for spending this time with us today. If this reflection touched your heart, please subscribe and continue journeying with us through the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio. And if you feel called to become part of our prayer family as a protected child of Padre Pio, you'll find the link below. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you.